Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, welcome to My City Church Online. Thanks so much for tuning in with us today. You're going to be, I think, in for a really powerful time sitting down with one of my great friends, Myron. And Pastor Myron pastors an amazing church in our city, Mission Church, making a massive difference. Today, we were just down in North Omaha, doing so much. And today, as a church, we're kicking off a new series in the book of 1 John. Can't really think of a book of the Bible that is more applicable to the season that we're in right now. There's no book in the Bible where the word love is mentioned more. And so I want to open up, just read a verse to you, and then we're going to kind of get into a conversation that I think is going to speak to the current situation that we're really all navigating. And here's what it is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. It says that this is the message you've heard from him and we've declared to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk into the darkness, we lie to ourselves and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The key part of this is that when we follow God, one of the great realities of that is that we have fellowship that's deeper than what makes us comfortable. It's about being with one another. And why? Because of the blood of Jesus and his son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. And today we kind of titled this Light Conversations. We're bringing things out to the light. We're having a conversation. And really, the conversation is probably anything but light.
Anything but light.
But I think it's a needed conversation. And so much has gone on in our world right now, from the murder of George Floyd, just unbelievably horrific to watch. And I think it's important that we take time to call it what it was. It was a murder.
Yeah.
There's racism, it's injustice, and the issue is so complex because it's so much deeper than a singular event,
right?
Or it's in the hearts of people.
Yes.
And that's why I love that verse, because the Bible says that there is sin in all of us, and that sin breaks fellowship first and foremost with God and then with one another. And so what we're experiencing right now, I think, is God putting his hand on the issues of sin in man's heart. And I think it's so important that we have conversations. And so that was the hardest thing for me was I was going to preach a message on this. And it's I think in seasons like this, I think we need less statements. We need less, you know, gotchas, and we need more conversations.
Yes.
So wanted to take time and have a conversation with everything that's going on, from protests to the tense nature of everything going on, injustice. I think a great question that I would have for you is just first and foremost, being a black man.
Yeah.
And then being a black pastor.
Yes.
How has that been for you? Feelings, thoughts, emotions. What are you speaking to people about, you know?
Personally, bro, I just got off vacation, and when I heard about the Ahmaud Arbery murder, and then Floyd, I turned to my wife, we were in the truck, and I said, I'm tired of being black. And as I was away on vacation, I went out and took a walk, and I wanted to jog, but I was scared to. And bro, I've lived in more fear, or fear has been lurking at my door more in the last 30 days than when I was a gangbanger. I mean, think about that moment. I'm a gangbanger, North Omaha, right? You know what it is when you're in that life. But now when I'm doing things right and I'm living for God and I'm walking in the light, mm-hmm. I fear that that my kids will become orphans and that my wife will become a widow. And all because it's a crime to be black. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I've had to carry the tension and weight of that mm-hmm. Deeper in that I'm not only a black man, I'm God's man.
Yeah.
So I you know what I mean? I live in this tension mm-hmm. of I'm God's man, but I'm a black man. Mm-hmm. And really no one cares if you're God's man, if your skin's black.
Yeah.
Because you all, I had a lady tell me this. You know, you remember COVID?
Yeah.
It seems so far away. You remember when? she told me, she said, if I didn't know you and you had a mask on, I'd be scared of you. So when they told us, bro, when they said, start wearing masks, I'm like, you want me to wear it?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm a pastor. I got gold teeth. You know what I mean? I got snapback. Mm. You ain't put a mask on, bro. I put the mask on for the first time and I'm like, they're going to kill me. And it's, you know what I mean? Because of public perception.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah. I think that's the thing that even me as a white guy, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's okay for us to say, we do not understand.
Yeah.
I think we keep on trying to like grapple and put our, with it up here. But this isn't an up here thing. This is something that you have to carry in your spirit. It's deeper than just a thought process or a mindset. Like this is brokenness in humanity. Yeah. And I don't have to carry that piece. Mm-hmm. Not the way that you do. You know, what protests were going on, you know, I felt helpless.
Yeah.
God was really working on me. I'm like, I feel helpless, Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. I sat and cried. And God said, now you're starting to feel it. Mm. That sense of, I don't know why I have to, how to respond to this. And so I said, Lord, I can't just sit. So I got to go be a part.
Yeah.
So I went down and just sat and prayed and listened. Mm. And because God just kept on speaking to me, hey, be slow to speak. Quick to listen, you know what I mean? Slow to anger. And because I felt anger. Mm. Like I felt anger. Anger at the world we've created. Like, how is it that I don't know how to help this? Like, I just feeling almost helpless. And then hearing stories like you, honestly, on the other end, that it's terrifying to me that was, you're on vacation. You're one of my dear friends. You're giving your whole life to make a difference, but you have to walk out of the house with fear in your heart to go jogging. Like, and I mean, it makes me enraged. It makes me want to cry. It makes me feel helpless because I don't know how to help change that. So, and I think this is just an honest question. What can I do to be better? Does that make sense?
You remember when Jesus said, when he was headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He had his cadre with him.
Yeah.
And what did he say? He said, hey, come sit with me. Come watch and pray with me. Mm-hmm. He said, because my soul.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't get it. Yeah. They didn't understand.
Yeah.
Right? So he goes, bro, and he's by himself pleading with God. God, like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. He had to do it alone, even though the God man, bro, was like, hey, come be with me. The only picture I can give is that picture. The black man is saying, come be with me. And we know what happened. They went to sleep.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it feels like. It feels like America is asleep mm-hmm. and saying, don't wake me up. Mm-hmm. And so when we ask like what is it? I think the what you just said is, am I willing to risk sitting with? Remember when Job lost it all?
Yeah.
Right? The sin of his friends was that they thought they knew how to fix his problem. when what he needed wasn't their words. What he needed was the gift of presence.
Yeah.
Because honestly, bro, like, bro, I felt so alone, man. Mm-hmm. I said it yesterday. I quit, bro. In Florida, I quit. I don't need to be in ministry. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just gonna go make money.
I'm straight. I'm gonna make a lot of money. Yeah, I'm a hustler.
Yeah,
you feel
no, I
me?
Get it. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't need this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I quit. And I didn't tell anybody about it. But the Lord started dealing with my heart, and he's like, Myron, if you quit, who else do you think is gonna quit? And I'm like, God, I know, but I'm tired. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like I've tried to do my best as a leader to leverage my influence to say, hey, diversity matters, mm-hmm. equality matters, equity matters, inclusiveness matters, justice matters, like all that stuff matters. But when you don't feel heard, that's what the riots are all about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? You were down there getting shot up, bro. Like he told me that. I was like, bro, you took one for the team. Like, that's my guy. He took one for the team, dog. You know what I mean? But when you told me that, bro, it hit me. It hit me hard. You feel me? It hit me because it's like, because remember when I said, I was like, bro, like, you know them rubber bullets. Like, they, them for real bullets.
Yeah, they feel good.
But to your question, it's, will you come sit with us?
Yeah.
And like, I think that matters. Mm-hmm. And people have been saying, and I know people, they want to know, like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. Because we have that.
We want to fix it, bro. Yeah, I want a solution, but there is not going to be a quick solution for this.
This is
beyond my lifetime.
It's our kids.
But you can't let the longevity of change cause indifference.
Yeah.
And that was my whole thing is like, I didn't know what to do. I'm just going to go be present. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be present. I'm going to try to pray for people. I'm going to, you know, if nothing else, like, I needed to feel it so that I could have a greater level of conviction than I did before about who I am, what God's called me to do, et cetera, et cetera. And that was the thing, like, as far as being present, these were questions that I think is awesome. If you call My City Church home, and here's a question that I would ask you, and I don't want this to come across like I got you or, you know, throwing stuff. But the time for like not looking at this stuff is over. Like, you,
it's over. You know why?
You can't. You
right
can't
here.
Not.
Here's why it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bro, I had a revelation. This is no longer a phone. As a black man, this is not a phone. This is evidence. Mm-hmm. Because those are the times we live in. Uh-huh. You know what
yep.
I mean?
Yep.
But you just said something I don't want the church to miss that is a key because to what can we do. Mm-hmm. You said, I went down there. Bro, you said it. You said, I went down there. I didn't know what to do. I didn't try to fix anything, but I had to go feel it. And I think that's a key.
Yeah.
I have to go where the drama at, mm-hmm. and I gotta get in it. Mm-hmm. That's scary. We're not saying that's easy. Mm-hmm. That's called uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you went down there, fam, and you felt it. And I think America has lost its ability to feel. Mm-hmm. Let's forget America. The church. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh yeah.
Because the further we are from a problem, the less likely we are to think that it's important.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to challenge every person in our church. Like, when's the last time you sat down for dinner?
Yeah.
And here's the deal. And I'm going to say this with some boldness. If the answer is never, God's to change.
Yeah.
If you've never sat down, like if me and you would never go to lunch.
Right.
Or whatever. Like, If I could even as a pastor say, when's the last time I sat down? Do I have a friend? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not talking about somebody that I work with or somebody right. that I know. Do I have a friend that is black? Yeah. And people will go, well, I'm not around them. Well, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know, people got a vast, here's what the deal is, man. We get comfortable living in our little world.
Yeah.
and we've removed all the problems from it. We got a little Christian life, little bubble. We paid down our debt because we took Financial Peace University.
We bought a
house. Now we got like a kid. We're planning for number two. And you know, we're safe. We're good. Right. And that kind of stuff, if you love Christ, the indifference is, I would say that you don't have a firm grip on truth. Mm-hmm. Truth is you cross the barriers. Mm-hmm. Not everybody else, you.
Right.
You have to make a decision. Bible says to show yourself friendly if you want friends. Like go out of your, make a friend, build a bridge, sit, listen and have a conversation and feel, you know what I mean? Like, and that's the only way that you'll ever understand what's going on. And you may never understand, but you can connect.
Well, what you said about feel, I want to keep going back. The reason why feel is important is because experiences that we remember and recall are birthed in what we felt about a situation that occurred. Mm-hmm. So when you go downtown, right, and you experience it, you'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it triggered something so emotionally, so emotionally involved in it, mm-hmm. that it changed your thinking. And as it has changed your thinking and my thinking, then it changes my behaving, my believing.
Yep.
All because you said something as simple as, I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to go down there and be there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that that's really the goal of, to me, this conversation is to get people to take a moment. And we got to understand this situation that we're facing right now. We are highlighting injustice. We are highlighting racism. We are highlighting, but underneath all of that, those are fruit.
That's fruit.
The root underneath it is sin. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, 1 John is saying. He goes, sin breaks fellowship with one another. Sin breaks fellowship with God.
Yeah.
So if we don't start to look on the inside and start to go, man, what judgments, preconceived ideas, notions, just to go, oh, well, I don't have hatred in my heart.
Right, right.
So hate is the only, that's like, Galatians has like 25 other things like that's listed in the lust of the flesh.
Right.
Hatred's just one of them. But selfishness,
that's
also in there. And selfishness is only taking care of yourself. It's only worrying about what's good for you, not what's good for your fellow man. And we've got to start to deal with some of that stuff. Because to say that this is that problem or a this problem, or I've had people say this, well, I don't hate black people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I found this quote today, I was sharing with you right before, but MLK said, I'm convinced that my greatest barrier in racial equality is not the KKK.
Not the KKK.
It's the moderate white man. Like the indifferent, like, oh, well, we don't hate.
Well, you know where he wrote, you know where he wrote that from?
Birmingham.
The Birmingham jail. So he's in jail responding by letter to the white Christian. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, hey, you keep telling me to wait for civil, you keep telling me to wait for equality. You keep telling me to wait. And essentially he's saying, if it was you, you wouldn't be saying wait. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I don't want us to miss what you just said. The greatest threat aren't the people who are publicly saying I'm KKK.
Yeah.
Because we know where they stand.
Yeah.
White supremacy, like we know where they stand.
Yeah. They put both feet down on the wrong side of the line.
Yeah.
We know where they stand.
And I respect that.
But the person dancing on a fence.
Yes. Or the pastor preaching from the pulpit.
Yeah.
Because I think when you think about our churches in America, our churches are in, we just got to keep it 100. Our churches in America are where they are because of who's leading them.
Absolutely.
And like you said, it may not be hate, but it's a long laundry list of other things in Galatians that we have to address that we don't even know.
Yeah.
The implicit biases we have, right? I was, I was doing a training, right? And I had the people, a racial training, diversity training. And I had everybody close their eyes. And I said, I'm going to paint a picture for you, right? And then after I paint the picture, we'll have some conversation. I said, close your eyes. Everybody close their eyes. I said, okay, you're in North Omaha, right? And there's a person that just got out the car. They shut the door. You just got out your car. You're about 10, 20 feet away. You can't really see who the person is. This person has a hood on. It's nighttime. And I say, okay, open your eyes. And then I ask them, I say, okay, who did you see? Who did you see? Who did you see?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you're honest, you know what I mean? Your brain would have been programmed that's somebody coming to hurt me. That's a black man.
That's a black man, yep. Right? And so that's actually a real study that was done by Yale, mm-hmm. I believe, that over 75% of people said, I saw a black man.
Yeah.
Right? So watch this. That exercise had less to do with hate and more to do with bias.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, if you're a, like, nobody in their right mind would say, oh, I hate black, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some things in our heart that we've learned from the media. You know what I mean? There's some things that, like, for example, catching only, you know, the media I've been looking at lately, oh, there's just a black person in the background looting. Mm-hmm. It's very subtle, you know? But we convey these messages that our people then receive without being critical about, okay, what's the truth?
Yeah.
What really happened? Doing our homework. And then we believe these lies that we adopt. And the lies that we adopt, we then raise our kids.
Yeah.
And then they don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna share this with you. So I pastored in Miami in Opa-locka, which is like, it's hood. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember I first moved down there and my wife grew up in Papillion her whole life. Yeah. Blonde haired, blue eyed girl, you know, and we're in the hood. And I realized that both of us felt we were the minority of the minority. That's what I lived in for 6 years. Mm. There was more Jewish people than there was white people. You know what I mean? And I'm called because I feel called to this part of the city.
Right.
And I realized that if I didn't deal with some of my preconceived biases, I was never going to be able to make a difference. So I spent a week, and I don't know if I'd suggest this to everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
A week, every night at midnight, I went down and I walked. There's a street that everybody, oh, that's a bad street. I said, I'm gonna walk the street.
Yeah.
You're
one of them crazy
boys. People walk. No, exactly. That's it. But that's how I thought in my head. By the end of it, people would be like, hey, Pastor. You know what I mean? This is super friendly. And all of a sudden, I realized that the world has constructed a worldview for me that I didn't even ask for. I didn't ask for it. Like, I wasn't a little kid. Somebody said, give me this worldview.
Right.
But the only way I got rid of it was to confront it. I had to prove the worldview wrong.
Yes.
Because you follow your own belief system.
Right.
So I had to change my belief system. Now, I'm being honest with you. There's really nowhere in the world I feel scared to be in.
Yeah.
But question, if it took you to the Middle East.
Oh, my God.
Drops you off.
Yeah.
So we all have constructs. Yes. Some constructs are healthy, some aren't.
Right.
And the one we're dealing with right now, I think in America, is a construct that's been given to many people. They didn't ask for it, but is now our responsibility to prove it wrong.
Yeah.
To confront it, to cross the line, to build a bridge, to build a friendship.
You said you the mainline America has been given a construct that you didn't even realize that you, and me as well, right? Based on the scripture verse we just got through reading about being in fellowship, etc., the reality is that the enemy of our soul gave it to us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Bro, you feel me?
Yeah.
It came from him. And I think as Christ followers, we have to come back to, okay, where does that ideology come from? There are only two sources of any ideology, God or the devil. Mm-hmm. There's no in between.
Yep.
Right? And so even as we have this conversation, if we don't confront our ideologies, then we end up becoming, a part of the oppressive system that keeps mm-hmm. people under the weight of, you know what I mean, injustice.
Takes for a believer, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, yeah. but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think that that's what everybody's going trying to go through right now. How to grapple with this? How do we renew our mind? And so I just want to, man, I love you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Likewise.
Like you're one of the, quite honestly, one of my the few friends that I have in the city on a, yeah. on a pastor level. And I just can't thank you enough for being a voice and helping, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Helping me get better, helping our world get better. And we need more voices. So don't get discouraged. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, don't give up, because this is a painful hour. Mm. But God says he'll give us beauty for ashes. Mm. And I think something beautiful is coming out of this. And so I like to take a moment here, just kind of just wrapping up, and just I like to take a moment and just have you pray yeah. for our church, that I don't care if a church feels like they're doing a good job. To me right now, it's all got to get better. Yeah. It's all got to get better. We all got to look on the inside individually and just pray for our city, pray for mm-hmm. what's going on, that pray for the church, you know, that we would be exactly the bride of Christ, that we would be a representation of him in our world. So take a moment, pray for us.
Certainly. Oh, Jesus, so thankful to lock arms with my brother, and so thankful for My City Church and for the work that you've called Pastor Jesse to and his bride and the rest of the fellowship. Lord, we'd ask you to help us to see the biases we are catering to, all of us, black, white, brown. But Lord, give us the fortitude and the courage and the audacity to say, not on my watch. And Father, I pray that we would, as a body, My City Church, all of us individually, that we would continue having light conversations that leads to eradicating this infestation of evil that is inspired by the devil himself. Give us courage. Help us to be encouraged, even if we feel weary, tired, helpless, and don't know what to do. Father, thank you for this time. It's been incredible to sit here with my brother. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, I hope this conversation has been challenging. I just want to tell you, man, if you're in Christ, there is no guilt or condemnation. There's a difference between guilt, shame, and conviction. I believe what the Holy Spirit's trying to bring to us as believers right now is a conviction that says, man, we're going to live differently. And I also want to take a moment, if you're watching this, and man, the first step to real change, this is what I'm trying to tell everybody. We have a racism problem. We have an injustice problem. But deeper than that, we have a sin problem. And we can work on behavior modification. Yes. We can legislate behavior or consequence for behavior. Yep. But there's only one thing that can transform a heart. And if you're watching this and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's where it all begins. Because the Bible says that we become a new creation in Christ, that old things, they start passing away. Everything becomes new. What you need is a radical transformation in your heart. So if you're watching this and your life's not right with God, right here, right now is your moment to say, I'm going all in for you, Jesus. I'm gonna surrender my life. I want you to come into my life and change me from the inside out. If that's you, I want you to pray a prayer. And you're gonna pray it repeating after me. It's not the words of this prayer that save us. It's the condition of your heart saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. So right now, Jesus, I give you my life. Become the Lord of my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, we believe you just became a brand new creation in Christ. We wanna celebrate you, and couldn't be more proud of you. Stick around till the end of service. We're gonna be giving you key next steps and how you can keep on moving forward in your relationship with God. Well, church, I'm proud of you. Keep digging in. Let's lift prayer like never before. Let's get out of our comfort zone. Let's serve our world during this season, and let's be Jesus's hands and feet. Let's go to God in one more song of worship.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.